Let's do it.
Okay, Trustee Davis?
Present.
Trustee Jones?
Here.
Trustee Hanacek is not here yet. Trustee Perry?
Here.
Trustee Vickers is not here yet.
Okay, Kim, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Oh, sure. Wow.
Good for you.
Put your right hand over your heart, ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. All right, do we have an approval of the agenda?
We're going to dance here a little bit.
We're going to dance. You want to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Perfect. Motion by Trustee Jones, whatever my name is. Perfect.
And we have a 3-0 vote?
Yes, thank you.
3-0-2.
Do you have anyone for oral communications?
Executive Director's Report.
Director's Report. All right. Well, welcome everyone. Good to see everybody. I have a few items I wanted to share with you this morning. So first and foremost, a couple of celebrations. First celebration is that our enrollment continues to track above what we had last year. So
yes.
As we know, everything kind of ebbs and flows over the first 6, 8, 10 weeks or so. So once everything, those things tip, maybe it just got locked
just
in
be
place.
Really careful. I'll try not to lean on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know your own.
So we'll do an official final report once all the drop ad windows are closed and we have actual real solid numbers. But we're tracking up somewhere between 220 and 270 kids over our programs from last year. And that's across CUSD. Got Laguna Beach's numbers from Kelly the other day, and we're up a little bit there, and we're up in our after bells as well. So across the board, it's really great. Some of our programs that have historically had a little bit of a low enrollment are doing really well. One of them, like aviation, we've got more kids in there than we've had in the past, which is really great. Patrick, one of our current teachers, took that over last year. He's doing a great job with it. So some examples like that, which is really great to see that kids are coming our way, continuing, even though overall we're experiencing declining enrollment. Kids are migrating to the courses that we offer, which
does
is
Patrick go up
fantastic.
To Tesoro to teach the aviation class?
Yep. He drives up after being at San Clemente. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's really taking off.
It's really taking
Da-da-da.
Off.
That's right. Aviation. Are completely
undetected. There you go. Second celebration I wanted to share is, as I shared in a board report that I emailed out to you guys, we are Golden Bell finalists with our program and a shared application with CUSD. So our validation visit has been set. So our validator's coming on the 25th to go around with us. So we'll take them and show them an elementary program, a middle school program, and a high school program, depending on how much time they want to spend with us to go around and see what all that we have going. So that's really fantastic. Super excited about that opportunity that we might actually come through and win a Golden Bell Award, which would be fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yes, very cool.
Yeah, so very excited about that.
Well deserved. Yeah.
Team's been doing a lot of great work for a lot of years, and it's showed off in the size and breadth of our program. Yeah, for sure.
And the districts have been so supportive, I think. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't happen. I mean, we're
it's
the conduit, right?
Everywhere.
Yeah, we're the conduit. So yeah, as a partnership, it's been very, very positive for a long time. Yep. Couple of new classes that we're offering this year. One of them we've been working on a while, specifically the Mission Hospital internship program. So we had kids at the hospital for the first time this year. So actually, I was going to kick to Kim because she's been instrumental in pulling that thing across the finish line and actually got to go be the teacher the other day.
Oh, yay.
How was that?
You know, it actually did. The kids did really great, but our only hiccup was that they use some type of a platform, and that platform never got us up and running. And then when we reached out to them, they were like, well, we're really busy, and we're not going to be able to get you up and running. So then Mission reaches in and goes, we have 57 hospitals with you, and we, you know, and so then they all of a sudden got us up and running. So that was the snafu in the whole thing. So now they're up and running. We were there, the first week was last week. We were there for orientation, and then we did a lecture by a trauma came in and spoke to the kids about what it means to be a trauma center and what a trauma center is and how they qualify to be a trauma center. So that was kind of cool. And then Then our teacher got sick, got COVID. And then I was the only one that had been Domini, and I the only one knew the site and knew everybody, so I had to cancel my stuff. And I went in with the kids yesterday. So they will be on the floors and going to all the different departments. And some of the departments that they're going to will be, gosh, they're going to OB, they're going to telemetry, they're going to the regular floors, like 3 East and 3 West, and the medical and the surgical, lab, pathology, transport. So they're going to be doing a whole, like a total of, I think it's 14 or 15, depending on how many weeks we have the kids doing. And we say we'll take as many as you'll give us. And so they're going to rotate through all of those. And they took 18, we were able to get 18 students. The thing that makes this really nice is it's a regional. So originally we were going to take a class and have a class come over, but then that fell through, and scrambling at the last minute, I reached out to all the medical teachers, and the medical teachers all sent kids. So I actually like that better, because now it gives kids from every campus, every district, an opportunity. Since this was the first one, you know, we're a little heavy from one school. We have reputation from all schools, except Laguna didn't send us one in time, because I needed to get it in a week. But that's okay. Next year they will, because we're going to hold spots for everybody.
Right.
And then San Juan Hills wasn't able to get anybody in time to start it, because I literally needed it within a week. I'm like, give me students in a week. So, but the kids got their shirts, got all everything going, and all their paperwork, and so we're up and running. And so we'll see. I mean, it'll be interesting. And then afterwards, we'll do a debrief. Yep. So they'll do like an end of the semester celebration and debrief. But yeah, next year we'll do it for the same way. I like it, and then we will.
We're gonna branch into the Laguna site next year as well. They've already made comments that this would be a great thing to replicate and have some students at that site, which then would be a very nice connection for our Laguna students, so it's much closer.
And the only reason they couldn't get anyone in is because we didn't know when we originally set it up that they had changed their tutorials again. So their tutorials, I guess Laguna Beach had moved them, and so the timing didn't work for them. But now we've got the timing set, everything's set and ready to go. We're gonna, like I said, hold spaces and open the Laguna Beach.
Is there a possibility that we could open Laguna Beach in January?
No, because they only take it in the first semester.
Oh.
Yeah, they only want kids in the first semester. Now, you know, again, when
Who
we
knows?
Debrief,
right.
They may think it's, you know,
maybe
they may want to decide.
They were kind of
baby steps getting into it. And once they see that our kids know what they're talking about, they get support from our staff.
Sure.
I'm sure the doors will. That's how it happens every time. They're like, I don't know about high school kids, and then they're like, oh my gosh, these guys are great, and then the world's open to them. So
yeah, and then maybe we can have a first semester and second semester, get more kids through
for sure,
and then Laguna Beach can do their location. Yeah, so you know, again, we'll see what the debrief. That'll be something I suggest. I want to do second semester. I want that gives us time to get, you know.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, Christy's been a great partner to work with, and she's seeing the vision now. So I think they're
maybe by November she might say let's open second semester. Who knows?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah,
that's
we'll
great.
See.
Thank you.
And I don't think Christy's not really the decider. She's the facilitator.
Yep.
But I think she has gotten there. I thank you so much, Kim, for getting this going. I know it has been a heavy lift. Mm-hmm. I know it's been horrible. It's even been horrible for me. And I had to be kind of mean to some people a few times. And you know I have that talent. I'm so grateful to you for all the work you've done. So, two questions. Will the Laguna Beach campus or hospital be open to, like, say, for example, Aliso Nagel students? Because for some Aliso students, that's fairly close.
It could be. We may do the same thing. That's an option.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I would think, because I don't know that Laguna Beach actually has enough students. It's a small, they did say that it's a much smaller hospital. So they may only have a few departments, and so it may just work out. And I would, you know, try to keep Laguna in Laguna if we could, and keep Capo in Capo. And if there's room, then we open it up to everybody. I don't know. It's a possibility. Mm-hmm. We'll just have to see. And
right.
Say Laguna has spots. They'll have spots in this one if they want to come down to Mission.
Because our hospital's in the south, and Dana Point is so close.
Maybe we just do that, and again, we'll see.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
It won't be our intent to keep them separate on purpose.
Right.
Kids, and there will be some Laguna kids that are really wanting to go into medicine, and it would make more sense for them to come over to the big hospital Mission, because they'll get to experience more things. So,
would you say 14 different rotations?
I'm going to have to see how it shakes out, and like if I look at the campus over there, and they don't really have like a a great rotation, then I will want to keep it open for everybody, right, because maybe they don't have a, they're not a trauma center. Maybe they don't have these departments set, and I'd like to keep it available, everybody get the opportunity. So yeah, I was thinking for you both.
But they also have a bunch of doctor's offices right there.
Yeah.
I mean, like just, I don't, it's the same building, but that could be helpful. You know, there's doctor's offices close to Mission, but it's not where you can just, park and walk.
And right now we have no students in the medical buildings. None of them are in the office building. They're all in the hospital doing the 14 rotations in the hospital, which is good.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
One other question. You said there was the platform. Was that a Providence platform or a Mission?
Providence, well, Providence uses it because she said 57 of their hospitals throughout the whole country use it. So it's like a, it's a way for them to collect the
information. It's a third-party vendor that collects
So it gets all their paperwork. So they have to send, it to attestation form. They have to send all this certain paperwork. But they would do the background check if we had one. We don't have one.
Because they're under 18.
Right. Yeah. But originally that was what was told to us. That was one of the hiccups, was trying to find out, well, what is it going to cost us if we, you know, I mean, it might be cost preclusive for us. We might not be able to do it. But it ended up being fairly inexpensive. And and so, but they were the ones that didn't weren't able to kind of get it together.
It's a company called Castle Branch.
Castle Branch was
this third-party provider. So the provider would, the provider is the one that said to us, hey, we're so busy, we'll get to you when we get to you.
And
Mission called, said, hey, wait a minute.
Move it to the top.
They called
we've been working on this far too long to not make it happen.
Yes, and we could,
great.
Because I was good, I was smart enough to know to keep everybody in the loop. So when I was reaching out to them, I was CCing Christine on it, going, I'm not getting any response. I'm still, I don't have any information. I don't have a platform.
Right.
And so finally, when they came back and told us, and when I told her that that's what they said to Dom, that, sorry, we just are too busy for you guys.
Right.
That's when they got back on them and said, no. And so they got, so the two managers got on somebody and they got back to me. I'm still not completely up and running, but we're moving. It'll be probably by the end of this week. We've got an account now. We're moving.
So there's, I'll just tell you really quick, there's a meeting where they, they like are evaluating their low income programs. Let's see, what day is it? And if you guys want to come, I think that's, well, let me just, let me email you, Paul, and you can let the staff and the board members know. Health needs assessment meeting. And it, you know, I don't know, it's not directly applicable, but if you want to go, it's a little bit of a fly on the wall to what Mission's business is. Let's see, it's,
I'd like to give them a chance. Let's see how they
how they
go now that they're, you know,
serious. No, it's like I said, it's September 26th, 1 to 3:30 in Mission Viejo at the Norman P. Murray Center.
So send an email.
I'll send it to you. It's really not about this, but since we're in a partnership with them, it might be of interest. Anyway,
Sounds good.
And any future plans for the hospital in Laguna that's on the table, that's too far in the future.
We need to get a little farther into it just yet, but
because the community isn't really aware of what's actually going to happen there either.
Well, honestly,
we'd like to keep a hospital. That's
for sure
the heart of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've already made statements to us that they would like to expand this into the Laguna site for next year. So depending on if something happens second semester, potentially that could be an option if that gets open for us. But if not, the conversations will definitely be about making that happen for next year.
I think Mission wants to keep the hospital too. They they've moved some.
You know, it's
like
the thing when you don't know what's going on and everybody's having, and obviously Laguna residents want to keep the hospital because then we're so far from everything else.
The staff hall wants to keep it too, at least what I was hearing. When I was there a couple of times, they were talking about it, going, I hope the community is able to help.
San Clemente, of course, is still mad that hospital got closed.
Yeah, they lost theirs.
So, you know, people might want to go. If you don't like it, then whatever.
And it's your teacher that's Brian Carver, who's now in Bell EMT. He's the one who's overseeing this one.
The internship.
Great.
Awesome. Thank you.
And thank you, Dom, too. I think you were involved in this.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, that's one of Dom's sites. Yeah. Another project that we're working on that, that has the potential to grow and be really exciting is we're actually planning a career fair. So think of the college fair that we have with all the colleges there and kids can come and be. We're looking at replicating on a smaller scale initially to kind of get our feet wet in it, but to create a college fair experience so students can come and speak to employers that are going to have employment opportunities for the summertime, or make relationships to potentially get an internship during the school year and or in the summertime, and you know, all of those kinds of things, just to connect you know, a future labor pool to local businesses that are interested. And Nicole's working with Erica Gardner specifically with, she works on the college fair side of things. And, you know, and a long-term vision would be to have this event be kind of a more inclusive twofold thing versus singular. It's got a lot of logistical challenges, so we'll see where that goes, but that's something that, that we're beginning to work on. Nicole, did you want to kind of give a quick overview of the work you guys have been doing so far?
Tell me first who's our Erica Gardner.
So Erica Gardner is the coordinator of college and career readiness for CUSD. So she oversees the futurology counselors.
Okay.
And then I oversee the career guidance specialist. So the futurology counselor and the CGS on each side are housed together in the college and career center.
Okay.
So we collaborate a lot to just make sure we're sending same messages to our team, and we work together on workshops and webinars and things of that sort. So every year, futurology has always been responsible for hosting CUSD's college fair. And so we want to replicate those efforts for the career side of things. And so, like Paul shared, our vision is to eventually have one big event where students can kind of toggle back and forth and get resources from both sides of the spectrum. But there's a lot of moving parts that take place. So for this year, we're planning to do a smaller scale career fair, and we're planning to host it at San Juan Hills High School. So we've already met with the site and the principal to work on logistics with after school and extracurriculars. So we're going to be taking over a portion of their smaller gym, and then they have a big back area space. And we have career guidance specialists working with local employers. So each one of them are compiling a list of local employers that are close to their school sites. And then we have our K-12 pathway coordinator who's working directly with our Chamber of Commerce. And then we have our own business and industry partners. So we're working with different groups to get employers in. And then we've aligned the date with our mock interview. So every year, Futurology and CGS work together to host mock interviews for students. So we intentionally planned a date after the mock interview so that students can come prepared in case we have employers that want to do on-the-spot interviews or hiring. And we'll have a space dedicated to that where they can interview on-the-spot for jobs.
Very good. I love it. And this is looking spring?
Yes.
Great. Fantastic. And the chambers are involved, because I would think they would have a lot.
Yep.
Great. Do you have Broadcom? Because I have a friend at Broadcom who's very interested in this issue.
I know. So we have a list of our 500 plus business partners, and I know Broadcom is on there.
Okay.
That list is compiled through the work with our teachers and the relationships they have with business and industry. So I think we would just have to reach out to that teacher and see if that relationship is still established, but I know we do have them on our list.
Okay.
Do you connect with Laguna's Chamber?
Yes.
Yes.
So Aaron's letter?
Yeah. Our Dave Foster, who's our liaison with her, he attends all of our chamber meetings, so that was a piece that he's working on, is working with the chambers to have each chamber contact their membership and recruit businesses to be a part of this from each one of the chambers that we attend, so that we'll have good representation from the entire region to be able to come be a part of it. We thought, you know, kind of had this number of 50 employers in our mind as being kind of a good number, and initially that was like, oh geez, that's like a lot. And then we start seeing the list and we're thinking, oh geez, is our space going to be big enough?
Yeah, so for sure.
We could wind up outgrowing that a little bit. So we got to be real careful to make sure that it stays at a size that's manageable for us. Yeah. So we'll learn a lot of lessons this year. And like we said, going forward, we're going to continue to have conversations with the district to see if this can be a more seamless one event, one stop shop kind of thing going forward, which we think would be really great. So,
awesome.
So we'll continue to work down that road. But excited about the first time we're going to do this, and the potential for our kids to really get connected to our business community. So,
I think it would be really good. Of course, CSD will be one, but it seems like it might be good for CSD to have some separate ones, like maybe TIS and purchasing and you know, because you, you know, you don't want everybody to just go, oh no, I don't want to be a teacher, you know, but like TIS takes kids, you know, that don't have a college degree. And in fact, I think some of our students from have been hired by TIS. Yeah.
Yeah, we had two interns this past summer with TIS, yeah. And we're going to do more in, met with John Forney, we're going to have more in M&O. So they're actively working with us right now to work on internships to place within M&O within CUSD as well.
That's
so
great.
That we can house
That's
our
great.
Own kids.
A lot of our M&O employees are former students. Mm-hmm. Every M&O employee I know is a former student. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it sounds like it came in at a good time. So.
Yeah.
Yay, I was waiting outside till now. until you guys got all the other stuff done. So it sounds like you're a job fair, right? So is that's what you've kind of created. To your point, just, you know, the college job fairs, what's interesting about them, though, when there's a myriad of companies, kids all of a sudden switch direction, like, I didn't know TIS existed, or I didn't know M&O. So in a way, having a blanket umbrella with, you know, there'll be the unpopular booth, you know, whatever. No one wants to do that.
We'll be in that booth.
Yeah, but, you know, school board members, not good. So then they can go all around. Because then the, you know, schools, like the Learn By Doing, I get Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, Job Factory, Learn By Doing, and career, you know, the kids learn how to work those career fairs as well. Yeah. So thank you. Yeah. This sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And great primer for them, not only to go right into employment, but they'll now realize, I mean, my older son didn't get it about that job fair. And some colleges don't do a good job. But man, once you realize this is your ticket, these people are there recruiting you, get right recruited right off. You don't even have to go anywhere. They come to you. Yeah, so thank you.
Yeah. Now we're looking forward to it. It's a lot of fun. All right. Another exciting piece that we have going on that's new for this year is, and again, it's something I mentioned in one of the reports I made to you guys, is through our adult consortium. So the consortium received a grant specifically dedicated to creating fast onboard programs for ELL population into the medical field. All medical fields. So as a consortium, we spent some time talking about how that could look for our group and what we could do to access these dollars and help support this population to getting into the medical field. So we've arrived at a plan. So we're actually going to start a medical assisting program from this grant for adults. It's an adult program, and it's going to be housed at Union High School. So we've been working with Brittany Casey down at Union, so that's much closer to our EL population for the most part, gives them much more access to get there. I know that's a struggle that we hear from some of our adult kiddos about getting out to Capo and affects enrollment. So we're gonna try to get closer to our population. We got confirmation of the grant for the amount for us, so we're gonna be able to launch the medical assisting program. So basically replicating our current classroom at Union. Mm-hmm. So the students will have the exact same experience they would have as if they were on our adult training center. Mm-hmm. So it's on par. And Dom's been instrumental in working with that program and the consortium.
I always feel like it's so packed there. Where is it going to go?
The Castle building.
In the what building?
The Castle building.
Okay.
In the back. They have that. Yeah. It's the space where Saddleback was teaching their EL class back there. Yeah. Yeah. So they've vacated. So now we're able to.
Because that's like, you know, it's packed over there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's great.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's awesome. My kids were little. That was the IMRC. That was where they store all the textbooks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll be all ELL.
All EL, they'll have to test, and their levels will have to be appropriate to be able to be in the program. So it's specifically for EL only students is the grant. Yeah, and that's open to anybody within our attendance area that would want to be a program the same
adult.
As any of our other adult programs.
So the class will be taught in Spanish. Or
no.
They have to be English.
It's a blend, the consortium. So the consortium got the grant money, and so between the agencies part of the consortium, we have to combine, we have to work together with agencies. So Saddleback offers the ESL component, and then we offer the CTE component, and then together we merge and we have this new cohort, this new class that's supporting the students, the English language learner students.
That's great. So they just need to be Spanish speakers or another Saddleback English is not their first language, right?
Yes. Exactly. Saddleback will hire an ESL teacher, mm-hmm. and that teacher will be in the room at the same time with Rhonda Brown, our medical assisting teacher.
Okay.
So two adults in there working collaboratively. And then a couple of times, however Saddleback structures this, but a couple times a week, either like for an extra hour after class or maybe something on a Saturday, they'll have extra ESL study and support sessions
right,
for the
right.
kids that will be sponsored by Saddleback's faculty. So it's a kind of a full wraparound program, so they'll get everything all in one space.
And we're looking to begin that.
Quick.
Spring.
Great. Wonderful. Great.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Wonderful.
January? Yep.
January.
Okay. Yeah, that's the target launch.
That's great.
Yep, that's the target launch.
You know, we talk about English learners and people think, oh, these are people who don't speak English. And in many cases, their English is quite good.
Yeah.
Their written language
yeah.
is not,
writing, yeah.
not, you know, 11th, 12th grade level. But, or at least
probably
not
third and above. Right.
Well, I think often even more than that.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
It can be anywhere in that
yeah,
range,
yeah.
right? But then,
and in the medical field,
that
that's a huge barrier is not being able to script and read. You
yeah.
know,
yeah.
all
so
those technical terms can be
combined.
Very, very challenging.
Although it's also an advantage
it's fabulous.
To have that for anyone
yeah.
that
dual.
May have
absolutely.
A doctor
absolutely.
Client.
Yeah, no,
I
think
yeah, great. Yeah, bilingual. I mean, I've seen that with some friends of mine, younger sons, that they... He has a couple who are very bilingual, very fluent Spanish, and it really is an asset.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
I wish I was bilingual.
Yeah. And the funding stream that's supporting this is ongoing, so if things go well within our consortium, then there's a round two that could come around, so
totally.
We could expand, potentially offer a pharmacy tech
mm-hmm.
class as a second round.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just kind of see
yeah,
how it goes as
great.
A consortium. But
right.
if things go how they normally go for us, which is really well because our adult crew does a fantastic job, we would fully expect to be able to expand and grow an additional adult program. So that's our hope.
Thank you.
Yep.
That's exciting.
Yes, excellent. Thank you. Wonderful.
How long is the medical assistant program?
What did we decide on, Don? Because we stretched it a little bit.
I think the plan would be a semester, just the same. Yeah, semester long course. We were thinking of stretching it longer than that, but the way the reporting goes, like we have to track the objectives and the outcomes and make sure that these students are going to align so it's similar to the program that we already have.
Mm-hmm.
So we're shooting for a semester long course.
Yeah.
Yeah. It may have to stretch a little bit into the summer, but
yeah, we've had some conversations with them though, because if you have an EL population, they're already at a disadvantage of being able to access. So to have the expectation that an EL student goes through a technical medical program like that at the same pace as somebody that doesn't have the language barrier challenges,
mm-hmm.
it's a little bit of a stretch, even with the additional supports. So we're going to see. We've already pushed back a little bit and gotten kind of a let's try it and see how it goes kind
mm-hmm.
of thing, because they want to stick, like Dom said, they want to stick to the reporting windows, but it's about the kids. And if the semester doesn't get us there with all of this service, it kind of proves the point that that's the reporting periods need to change, not the programming for the kids. So we'll see where we get,
yeah.
see how it goes
well,
for the kids.
It'll be a trial run, right?
Yep,
we'll
exactly.
So
thank exactly.
you. There are parking issues, challenges, let's say, over there. Have we talked
mm-hmm.
about that?
They're fine. It's going to be an after school.
Oh,
so
after school.
Union kids leave at 1:30, mm-hmm. and we'll be coming in just directly after that. They'll
yeah.
be able to park back behind where Stonefield parking is. Brittany said that they can park in their upper lot as well if they want to. It's fine that it's open, but there won't be any... there won't be any overlap issues
yeah,
with kids and faculty.
A lot of student parking
yeah,
there.
It's, yeah. And it's only 20 students. It's a small program. We held
yeah,
it down. So, yeah.
And some will probably be walkers.
Yeah, walkers and, yeah, carpool and some things. So
my brothers.
Yep. I think we'll be just fine.
Okay, good.
I brought some samples. I'll lay these out on the table. You guys can take a look at these later, but I know I've talked about the digital badging program a little bit, so I kind of brought some samples of what those are going to look like so you can kind of see them. The only reason I really wanted to mention this today was we had our meeting last night for our K-16 grant. It's our work-based learning program through OCDE.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the metrics that we report as a group, everybody that's in this grant with them, are things like the number of students that are in internships, the number of students that are doing all these different slices. And one of them was the number of students that earn digital badges as a part of the program that they're in. The current number that they reported was 132 was what they had on the slide when they were showing those. So
that was countywide?
Countywide, everybody that's in the K-16 consortium with them. So we're poised to issue a digital badge to every student that completes one of our courses. So a concentrator will get a level, each one's kind of similar, so it's colored by the industry sector, and then it has the name of the class that they've taken, it's our logo, and then a level two, a level three, or pathway completer. So every level two kiddo will get the two, every level three kiddo will get a three, and then the kiddos that complete the three as their pathway, they will get an additional, they will get two, they'll get the pathway one.
So they can have a lot of badges.
So the kiddo would have, like in a typical two-course pathway, they'll have three badges by the time they're done. Engineering is a four-course pathway, they would have five. Same with auto. So the 132 that they had on the screen, so at the end of this year, we'll deliver a number to them that will take that from 132 into the neighborhood of
400.
More than that, because it's every class, so it's more like a couple thousand
so
we're going to drop on them.
When they do that
So I'm going to tell them.
I love this.
I already told Kathy she's going to have to stretch that slide a little bit because that 132 is going to turn into a couple thousand. So they need to make some more room on that slide. So
if they have a LinkedIn, right? If they're encouraged to have their LinkedIn profile.
Yep.
Then they can, that's electronically, right? So they can have that on there. And so, and the algorithm hopefully figures out what that is and picks them up.
Yeah, we will embed the URL into this. And we're going to put a page on our website that by industry sector will have all the badges represented and all of our pathways represented. So an employer could link into our website and see the competencies that the kiddo completed as a result of having that badge. Yeah, so
they
it's
get on people's
tied
radar.
Together.
Okay,
yep.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So that's a lot of fun. We'll do that.
I want to know how I can get
it. I was just thinking the same
thing. I'm so far from a badge.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, we have a badge. We never see this data.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you were thinking.
So a couple of legislative kind of things. So AB 377, that's the bill legislator, our Mayor Succi put that forth. And the primary, ooh, the heat came on.
Yeah,
didn't
I was like, that was hot here.
The primary piece of that was to combine.
Now, but I'll go change it.
Can you change it?
Well, there's.
She apparently.
You need to go to every high school and back to school night if you're able to do that. I don't know.
There's a trick.
There's like a range. Like, you can't make it hot. I mean, well, they think say it's hot. You can't, like, turn it way up. You can't turn it way down. But you. There's like a 4-degree range or something. Okay. I learned about this recently.
There you go.
Just politely look away if
you get a badge.
Start sweating.
You get a badge. That's right.
And then no badge.
No badge.
So 377 sought to combine K-12 and CTIG into one funding stream in addition to rewriting the formula so that we don't have to give money back to the state, which has happened every year forever because the law stipulates that's the way it has to be. So. The governor's office signaled that they wouldn't sign the bill with the CTIG and K-12 combination. Mm-hmm. So legislator was going to pull that piece out, push the rest forward. Well, we got notification about 4 days after I sent out the update that that's what they were going to do, that Mayor Succi decided, you know what, I'm not going to do that. He felt strongly enough that combining those two was so important that if they pulled that out now and pushed the rest through, he didn't feel like there would be an opportunity to revisit that again next year, that it wouldn't make it out of committee. So he said, we're going to turn that into a 2-year bill, we're going to leave it on the table, and we're going to come back to it next year. We're going to spend the year working with the governor's office, working with the Office of Finance, which seems to be the primary resistor to this, and see if they can get to a point where they can get everybody on the same page and move forward.
Great.
So that's where that stands. And then, what was it? Early last week that the governor's executive order came out. So now that is coupled to this bill and the topics there. So the governor's executive order that came out said that he is looking to have a new master plan for CTE in the state by October of 24. So his executive order came out requiring President of the State Board of Education, Secretary of Labor and Workforce Development, the Director of the Governor's Office of Business and Economic Development, and the Director of the Department of Rehab. And then he requested Chancellors, the Community College System, President of Cal State, President of UC, and Superintendent of Public Instruction to be a part of the group that formulates or puts forth the process to create this new master plan. So those are the folks that he called out by name in the executive order. So again, it went on to say a lot of things, but focusing on career pathways, starting in high school for all students to be able to explore well-compensated careers. This I loved in what he was saying, to really focus on hands-on learning and real-life skills, learn by doing, and the last piece, universal access and affordability. So he also has language in there specifically that says students being able to be paid for internships. Mm-hmm. I'm not in that language, but that's the intent behind what he's saying, so that students can be compensated for that extra time that they're spending. So it was interesting timing that Mayor Cucci decided not to push forward and extend this, and then this comes out on the heels of that. So I can see now that work, and I can see Mayor Cucci being a part of that work. And the governor also said to be overseen by the legislature, so they want to stay closely abreast of all of that. So that's all kind of going on at the same time. So we'll see what happens with that. We've got a meeting coming up with Pete Callis from the state CTE department, so I'm sure he'll have, well, I won't say sure, but hopefully he will have a few updates for us as to what this all means. This will be the topic at our next JPA coalition meeting with all of our advocates. They've been running around everywhere trying to collect as much information as possible, so we should have some more information, hopefully, at least preliminarily, what this thing looks like and what the intent behind it is. So we'll keep you guys informed, up to date as to what's going on there. But interesting, could be really exciting. There's a few certain scenarios in there that could be challenging as well. So it just kind of depends on the whole thing, how it plays out. But we'll definitely keep abreast and make sure that our voices are there as much as possible. All the coalition members, it's on the forefront of our conversations every time now. So hopefully that's a positive. We're gonna assume it will be. Let's see. Currently, our CTIG K-12 applications are underway, so staff's been working on those. So we have a good plan going forward. So we have high hopes that we'll receive strong funding as we have in the past. I have no reason to see why we wouldn't. So we're excited about the next round of initiatives. I say that tongue in cheek because that means more work in NOVA and some of those other programs that we all love so much. just want to say thank you for those of you that have been able to come to some of the local ribbon cuttings, the recent ones that we've had. They've been a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun out at Nagel Hills opening their new space. It turned out to be such a beautiful space, and the PTA was so happy and proud of the way that came out. We had a couple of council members that attended that one, and they were blown away. Jeff got to share with them the wellness center, something else that the school had done. Aside from us, but the principal was able to really show off his school, which was really great. And the PTA were really tickled me. They were so excited about that space for their kids. So that was a fun one. Marco Forrester with their career center. So we're really excited to have those two career centers this year and really connect our high school CGSs to the middle school and really start focusing on that throughput from the middles to the high in a stronger way than we have in the past. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of an impact that has with the programs at those feeder high schools. So we'll be tracking that as we go forward and try to determine those impacts. The Tesoro open house is our next one for the ribbon cutting for the eSports room. That's on the 18th at Tesoro High School, 9 o'clock. So that will be exciting to get that up and going. I know our technology folks are super excited about that one. Those guys, we've not had a project where TIS has been so willing to provide support. I mean, every time they get to go over there and play in the eSports room, they're like, oh, hands are going up in the room.
Sign me up.
It's like, we need two people at this meeting, and like six guys are jumping forward. Yeah, so so that'll be a lot of fun to get that one up and going.
I was on a recent event, and a huge crowd that attended to watch eSports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever randomly caught one on ESPN, but they'll do live tournaments, and they're in an arena just like a rock concert, and there's like 3,000 people that go to watch a screen and watch guys play video games.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Blizzard is right in Irvine, so, you know,
there's a couple of
attack areas, so, you know, they've got a local people working there. So. Mm-hmm.
And there's a PlayStation in Aliso Viejo, and they get paid to play or test their streaming networks and things like that as well. So, yeah.
So in the old days, the military recruiters would come around our high schools, and they had a huge RV thing.
Right.
Remember that?
Yep.
And it was all gaming systems inside. So
the virtual.
Like, going there. No, I'm just kidding. But they did, because it's a great skill, right? So the whole world there. Direction.
Yeah, there's some local businesses that have been out for a while now. They got like a 20-foot trailer pulled behind your pickup truck. You roll it up, the awning comes up, and you rent it for game day at your kid's birthday party or something. You know, a lot of middle schools do that for a reward and things. So,
my son still plays video games on Fridays at his job.
Yeah, it's like you were talking about earlier about the.
I know.
I like it. Let's add it.
But like the career fair aspect that you were just talking about, right? There's so many slices to the industry.
Yeah.
So. And that's what we focus on in the class. Neil's doing a great job teaching the class for us. And you know, you can be a 4-year math data science person and get a 4-year math degree and go work at Blizzard to do the analytics behind all of these games, because that stuff that happens in those games is not by accident. That's everything's got a purpose to hook you in and keep you playing to the next version and the next version. So
and they work on languages to go to other countries.
Yeah.
They have to change wording.
Yep, absolutely. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
How our other technical type area, how's Cisco doing over at San Clemente?
Cisco's holding tight. I haven't looked at their numbers specifically. Do you recall?
No, actually they're doing well.
And they'll get their badges and their certifications.
They do, yeah, and now they've got an internship with that. But yeah, I mean it's looking good. We had a little hiccup with. You know, Cat Nolan being out.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's not as sexy as things like eSport.
Yeah, right? And I think, I don't know how Cat analytics. Used to sell it, but she sold it sexy because
it filled up.
Her and Patrick really moved that forward.
Right.
So
right.
Now she's back. So.
And the thing that helps there is our connection with TIS. TIS actually reached out and said, hey, you got a couple of kids we can have this semester. We want more.
Right.
So if that word gets out that there's an actual internship with a organization this big, a department this big, then that'll feed some of that as well.
Sure.
But you're right, it's tough because it doesn't have the glitz and the glamour that
culinary
has or engineering. It's like,
money behind it.
We just had this conversation with somebody yesterday that it's like the teenage brain can't get around how awesome of an opportunity that is, but the 22-year-old brain gets it.
Right.
It's like, oh yeah, no, I can go make $140,000, $150,000, $160,000, $180,000, whatever, $1,000 a year. Wear shorts and be left alone. I can just do my thing and it's quiet. But a high school kid wants to have all of the glitz and the glamour. So
we'll
keep it there though, because it's a great opportunity for kids for sure. And then the last one we'll have is the Short Cliffs Middle School. We'll have the kitchen classroom ribbon cutting coming. Had to reschedule. Principal Jeff was taking his kiddo to school on that day. They moved the date, and so we just needed to reschedule there. We've got a couple tentative dates on superintendent's calendar, so once we settle on that, we'll let you guys know on that one. But all the teachers are in the new spaces, rocking and rolling, doing their thing. They're looking really good, having a good time. The last piece I had on my report actually happened this morning, and super excited. I haven't even been in here yet, but thought this came in the mail for us today, so I thought I'd make everybody a part of the grand unveiling, which is our official WASC certification.
Congratulations.
Came in the mail today, so there
awesome.
We go.
Very cool.
So I wanted to share that with everybody.
Congratulations, good
so
work.
Excited to have that. So again, thank you for all of your support. Thanks for the staff, for everything you guys do, because this is definitely a team effort from the whole organization and both of our partners.
Take a picture and send it to all of
you. Yeah, we should.
That's
we
a great
should.
Idea.
We reached out to all the folks that came to our reception and let them know kind of the outcomes of that whole thing, and got a lot of positive comments back from them and continued support. So
well,
it was,
that reception was fantastic.
Was nice.
I think
really
they were
nice.
Completely blown away. It was just so good.
If they
so
were,
good.
They were fools, but I think they were too.
I'm pretty sure they were blown away.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that's it for our
right.
my report.
Trustee Vickers, do you have anything to?
No.
Trustee Perry.
Nope.
Trustee Hanacek.
Jones.
And thank you to the staff. I mean, it's just a great start to a year, and I love the numbers increasing, and I love, you know, that kickoff at back to school. That was wonderful, and you guys do a great job, so thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Any comments from the public?
No.
There we go.
None.
And any trustees needing to pull anything from the consent calendar?
I have some questions on, I forget, number four. And, I mean, it's just questions. I don't know. And number 10. And yeah, I just, so I would pull those just so I can ask questions. We can do it real quick now. Okay? Whichever you prefer. But other than that, I'm good.
I'll move approval for items 1 through 11, excluding 4 and 10.
Second. Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
It's a roll call.
It's a roll call. Mm-hmm.
So, Trustee Davis?
Aye.
Trustee Jones?
Aye.
Trustee Hanacek?
Aye.
Trustee Perry?
Aye.
Trustee Vickers?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, so do we want to do those now or do we want to do them at the end? Super quick questions. On number four, I see that our vet tech instructor is leaving at the end of the year. Is that correct? Veterinary technician.
She's gone.
What?
Already
gone.
She's already gone.
Okay.
We switched over. We have a new teacher. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was just not convinced it was an area we should be continuing in. Do we get a lot of students? Do we think it's a good area?
We just got all of that equipment.
We got all that equipment, but I don't know. I mean, I just feel like
growing area.
It's a good solid area, and the school itself actually has expressed a number of times wanting to grow into an ag program. They would like to see something come into that, so we continue to investigate ways to grow that. We looked at the ag CT incentive grant. There's a separate CTIG grant for them, super, super small. It only, like Mission Hospital or Mission High School, I think they got like $15,000.
Maybe
itty bitty.
That fence
the very back corner behind their practice field, there's a space that Capo has that they'd like to do something with. So.
Capo.
So it could be tied together with that. But yes, it's actually, the kids really like it. It's well enrolled.
I just wanted to know.
And just real quick, on veterinary sciences, I mean, if they are intrigued to go, it's not just animals, taking care of animals.
Oh, yeah.
You can be water, all different things, mm-hmm. you know, go from there.
Yep.
Stem from, like, again, the Cal Poly, I keep doing that,
Pet care industry.
It's huge.
Animal care industry.
It's one of our really most popular classes. It just was since COVID. When COVID hit, it just seemed like it really took a little time to bounce back.
Well, the pet industry was exponential during COVID, so
yeah.
It started to create a little interest. So.
And we have a great new teacher. She came from Stanford. They actually closed their vet program, and she came over here, and we walked in, and her classroom was set up. She's doing a really good job. We really want to keep her.
Yeah, it's looked better than it's ever looked right now.
All right,
that's fantastic.
Like I say, I'm fine.
We'll get the
Okay.
phone that so we could highlight that.
And then number 10, I just wanted to know what there was CCATC and CCTCA, and I'm pretty good at abbreviations, and I could not figure those out.
One of them looks like it just got a little backwards.
CCATC was one?
Yeah.
CCATC.
So that's the College and Career Training Center.
Okay.
Oh, College and Career Training Center. Mm-hmm.
And that's at
Capo?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's our Adult Training Center.
And was that one just, the other one was just a transposition? CCTCA?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's
yes.
fine. That's all I wanted to know. So I can move approval on those two together.
All right. I'll second that.
Second. Okay. Second. Was that Trustee Vickers?
Yes.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. All right. So that's
all right.
It. Okay. Moving on to item number 12. Unaudited actuals.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so it is my privilege to present to you for consideration College and Career Advantage's unaudited actuals for fiscal year 22-23. As I usually like to mention, everything I'm about to discuss this morning is detailed in the SACS report, SACS financial reports provided in the board packet, and also summarized on the memorandum. Some of what we feel is noteworthy information starts with our current situation from the memorandum. Ending fund balance for fiscal year 22-23 was just over $3 million, resulting from assets of a little over $6.9 million, with liabilities about $3.9 million. This includes reserves for economic uncertainty increasing to $304,000, and restricted COVID supplemental funds at $2.6 million, which were some of our goals for the 22-23 school year. Moving on to the SACS reports that are in here compare the unaudited actuals for 22-23 against what our projected is for next year, which doesn't quite give you the information on what we're actually trying to approve right now, which is the unaudited actuals, which should be based on what our estimated actuals were. So I'll just kind of refresh everybody's memory on where we were so that it kind of makes more sense as to what we're approving. So revenue estimated from unaudited actuals went up a little over $200,000 to cover the cost of expenses. This included an increase to project over projections for CTIG of about $434,000. And it included some interest and rebates from OCDE for about $40,000 that wasn't what we had projected. And then there was the GASB 31 net changes to investments that went up $77,000. And then there was a decrease of what the K-12 or K-16 was because of $37,000 because we're just going to carry that over to next year. And then the K-12 strong workforce was decreased by $312,000 for unearned income, which is going to be a carryover, which is the 30% that we passed through to the districts because we didn't receive that income. We didn't end up doing the expenses for it, so that was our...
Please say that again, the 312.
We get 70% of the grant up front, and so we decreased what our unearned revenue was to project that, basically, because we report all of the earnings because that's what we're putting in, but because we didn't actually receive all of that, we call that unearned income, and we carry it over to next year when we actually pay it out to the districts and stuff like that. So that's why it gets decreased. It's one of those weird ones that we just have to show on the books, but it's like, okay, well, it keeps carrying it over.
But I show all the money even though you don't get all the money.
Yeah, it's like we have to show that we got all the money because it was the great year that we got it, but we have 2 years to spend it, so we have to do the carryover, which is the fun part of the accounting. It gets confusing, but yes.
It's why Matt Krause's hair is always different colors.
Yes. I'm going to start doing that, I think. Our expenditures also went up a little bit from estimated to unaudited by $157,000. Classified and certificated salaries went up about $20,000, but that's mostly because of summer school and not knowing what that was going to be, so I couldn't really put that in the estimated actuals, which also increased our benefits by about $3,600. Services and operating expenses went up about $40,000, which is about the 10% for the MOU teachers' costs. And then, and as a result of finalizing a lot of our COVID expenditures for purchases and installations, the books and supplies went up by about $302,000, and then the capital assets went up by about $391,000. And as I was just talking about with the revenue side of things, it actually decreased our expenses for the pass-through that we put to the districts, prior to the 10% that we didn't earn for CTIG and the 30% that we didn't earn for K-12 also did not get expensed because we didn't put it out to the districts either. So that went down by about $391,000, thus the $157,000 net expense increase. So CCA ended up fiscal year 22-23 with a $5.3 million in revenue and $9.8 million in expenses, utilizing the COVID funds and by adding back the beginning fund balance of $7.5 million from the year prior, so that our ending fund balance previously stated was a little over $3 million. As you've heard today, CCA is still in a great financial position, that we're still projecting a positive certification for 23-24 and the subsequent years. We'll provide updates at first interim that will be based on this update from the unaudited actuals and anything new that we're working on to add to it for 23-24 from the grants and things that we're working on. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. However, it's our recommendation that the board goes ahead and approves the Colleges and Career Advantages unaudited actuals for
22-23. Thank you. I'm moved to approve. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Moved by Trustee Hunchek and
second by Trustee Hunchek.
Second.
Yeah,
our vote is
5-0.
Oh, I have a question.
Oh, no, sorry.
Okay. Did we vote?
And I don't know whether this is practical at all, but when districts are doing salary negotiations, does anybody say anything to CCA like, oh, we think we're going to increase salaries by 25%, and
I was not a part of any of those conversations from either district. I wasn't in any of those meetings or conversations, no.
But then once it occurs, then there's connection.
Because we have to, CCA has to deal with it, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, it has impact on us because our costs go up for the MOU teachers, But even at that point, it wasn't a direct meeting with the finance department, didn't reach out to us and say, hey, this is happening, we need to discuss this. But I initiated those conversations this year with the district, and we were able to work through those with finance.
Okay, I just, it just concerns me a little bit. You know, this year, I don't know what Logan Beach's increase was, probably in the same neighborhood anyway. And, it's a 10% a lot.
Yeah, makes a difference. Makes an impact. So the district, CUSD specifically, to your point, we arrived at a point where that's now a cost neutral for us going forward. So in the past, that hadn't been the case. So every year, staff was increasing their pay, and every year that just meant we were paying more, but we weren't getting more on the backside. So we were actually going backwards every year.
Okay.
So that's no longer the case going forward.
Okay. Yes.
Great.
All right.
Yeah.
So did that get sorted when you met with them? Did you get billed?
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Any other questions?
Okay. Good clarifying question, though. That was a good one.
So we're approved 5-0?
Yes.
Okay.
5-0.
Okay. And moving on to 13. I don't think 13 is very steady, retired health benefits.
Okay, so every year we have an actuarial study. This year we did a rollover actuarial study because every other year we can do one of those. It saves us money and it's allowed. So what I had asked the auditors after reviewing it, that there wasn't too much of a change. I said, is there anything that I should note to our auditors just to see if there's anything that they should know about? And they just said that the measured total OPEB, which is what this is all about, liability is increasing approximately as expected, about $57,000, due to an additional year of accrued services for active employees. The valuation interest increased slightly from 3.54% to 3.65%. due to general increases, all of the interest rates across the board are going up, and overall interest rates environment. This change caused the measure liability to increase by $8,000, less than it would have without any changes to the valuation interest. So it's very incremental, and this really still only applies to anybody that gets retired from our district that we have liabilities on. So it doesn't impact us in the fiscal year that we're currently in, but it's a study that we have to do to figure out what our liabilities would be.
Got it. Thank you. Any questions?
Well, I'll move approval, but I do have a question.
Okay, in a second?
Second.
So, you started to say, Melanie, some stuff, or you did say some stuff about how often we have to do this. I mean, there's also this is unaudited actuals, but there's also the district-wide, JPA-wide audit that we have to do periodically. So what's the calendar on these various audits? So
this is the rollover, but are you talking about the
well, I'm talking about
state?
Any audit we have to do for the district. So was this a full audit, and then you said, I don't know what a rollover
audit
is.
This one is our actuarial study. This is not an audit. This is of the OPEB liability. The other pension has to do with your benefits liability.
Right. No, I understand
it
is.
Yeah.
What I'm asking is, like, do we have to do this audit every year, or is it an audit?
It's a study on our liabilities. That's all that this is for. This is for the retirement benefit liability package.
No.
That's what that
for.
Is. There is an audit that we just started that's for our budget purposes. And that will be presented to you guys in December. That will be, because this is our unaudited actuals. They go through all of that right now, and I'm in the process of that with them.
And is that, we have to do that once
annually.
A year, whether we like it or not.
Exactly, and we pay them to do it for us.
Okay.
And then they present to us all of their findings in December.
Okay, and then, but the actuarial study, was, which is not an audit,
right.
But it's like an audit, I guess.
Correct.
It's, are we required to do that every year?
Yeah, it's part of one of the GASBs. It's GASB 74 and 75. That okay. Every year you have to do an audit of your actuarials. It came back from when we had all the unfunded liabilities, and so they wanted to make sure that all the districts went ahead and like could at least examine all of what that's okay. going to be, make sure that they're not going to like have
right,
something
right.
coming in
so
the future.
So we have to do the full audit?
Every other year we have to do a full one, and then every other year on that we can do a rollover.
So it's like going to the dentist. Some years you have to get the x-rays exactly. and some years don't. Okay.
Exactly. So yeah. this is the one where we can do the little just modified like one. They can get it done like a lot quicker, so it doesn't cost us as much. But it's still part of, it follows the requirements that we
that's
need to the letter, so that's why we do it.
Any further questions?
No.
Okay.
Can we have a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. Moving on. Thank you. We'll go on to 14 organizational goals.
Okay. Proud to present to you this year's organizational goals for College and Career Advantage. As in years past, you'll see some recurring themes in some of the categories. We stay with the same categories that we had before. You might notice the red asterisk that's by a few of those. Those are goals that we have that are directly aligned to our WASC goals. So the items that the WASC committee left with us is we needed to pay particular attention to some of those things. So I wanted to designate those specifically just so that we can, that's almost more of an internal thing, just so that we can specifically know that those are connected directly to our WASC visitation and the going forward. The WASC process has changed quite a bit, so we need to make sure that we're monitoring our work towards those goals along the way. Much more data-driven. Their formatting is going to be much, much differently going forward is what we're being told. So wanted to call those out so we can pay particular attention. So I'm not going to go through all of these with you guys just for the sake of time, but just wanted to call out a couple in each section. So in section one under student achievement, we're going to continue to utilize our career guidance specialist and monitor those impacts. I'm very encouraged by some of our additional enrollment this year. I think we can directly relate to the work that they were able to do during registration and towards the end of last year in prepping kids to be aware of all the opportunities that they had available. So we'll continue to monitor that. Item C under student achievement, so specifically this year, we're working with our student ambassador program that we have. We have 7-ish, 10-ish at each high school around in there. Student ambassadors that come to events, they're at parent-teacher nights, open houses, all those kinds of things. So we're going to build in, we've been working with Stephanie Avera and the elementary school, so we're going to build in a program so that those kiddos are going to be going to the elementary school to run after-school ICANN camp kind of thing with the kiddos. There will be elementary staff there present, and it's actually going to be just as much for some of the teachers that are present as it is going to be for the kids, because it's a way for us to keep the teachers fresh on the equipment. So instructional technology is going to work with us and train our ambassadors, so when the ambassadors go once a month to their feeder elementary schools, they'll have the skills in a particular tool that they can then do some work around with the kids and the staff that would want to come and be a part of that. So
I think that's a really great idea. Because last night I was at a couple of back to schools last night, and I asked about the ICANN, and it was like, we're not quite using it yet. What's the holdback? What are your thoughts on it first? And,
yeah.
And that's kind of what they said, but I don't think they feel like it's a lot. That was a comment. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. So I think a little more training and coming from the kids would be the best.
Yeah.
Absolutely the best way.
And Stephanie's team will continue to offer direct teacher training for that. This is just going to be another layer that we're going to put into place
I think that'll be helpful.
To touch the kids as much as the adults in terms of skill acquisition. So
yeah.
That'll be a fun piece. We're excited about that. The high school kids love those kind of opportunities, and that the younger kids love interacting with the high school kids. So it ought to really be a win-win. We're excited about that one.
Well, and all those
ambassadors, Laguna High School ambassadors.
We've been talking with Kelly and doing some collaborative work in this space, a little bit more conversation around middle school, a little bit more conversation around elementary school. So I know there's some traction and there are some things happening there, so we're going to continue to work with her and grow into it. Does Laguna have specific, they have specific ambassadors as well.
Yeah.
So we'll be sharing all of this is will be shared with Kelly and for implementation in Laguna. If she wants to replicate, we'll absolutely be there to help and support and make it happen there if that's what she chooses to go forward with. Yep, absolutely.
And what would encourage her to go forward? Parents?
It depends on their internal structure. You know, what it is they want to try to accomplish with the elementary schools, what kind of, you know, what program style they want to roll out, if they're in timing-wise for them to roll something out at the elementary. It'll all be determined on what their internal conversations are and what those plans look like, and then we're here to support whatever those plans are.
And the same for a career center at the middle school would be?
We could absolutely provide the same kind of supports that we've been able to provide on the Capo side of the partnership. Again, it speaks to the internal workings between all of those folks there. But again, we're here to support in the same ways. Yes, ma'am.
When we get this rolling out, mm-hmm. I'm always thinking in terms of marketing. So what a cool thing, mm-hmm. unique for our school district. So if you can brainstorm with Ryan,
yep.
I of course would love the Register to pick it up. They never do, but at least in our local papers, and then our OCUSD Insider,
yeah.
That would be really, really helpful. I mean, I think it could be good for the Register, but because it is probably unique-ish, yeah. Really, and the scale with which you are doing it. So what great photo ops, too.
Yeah.
So I really look forward to that.
Yep.
Thank you.
Absolutely agree. We love working with Ryan and Jimmy. Jimmy's, okay. I talk to Jimmy probably three times a day, it
okay.
seems like,
anymore.
Yeah. Everything yeah. that's going on.
I mean, I love the CUSD Insider, but it's so, you know, like this. What
yeah.
I'm looking for is really get the word out.
Broader coverage.
You enter Palisades Elementary, Ryan, these are some of the opportunities you're going to have.
Yeah.
And access for your child. So,
yep.
you know, do the best we can. Keep trying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
In section two under budget and resource management, so we'll continue to work with our JPA coalition. We'll continue to work with our legislative groups that are part of those coalitions, especially now that we've got some things really afoot at the state level with CTE. As you can tell, Melanie is all over the numbers. So we'll continue to monitor all of our cash flows and all of our funding sources. Item D was one I wanted to call out specifically here. So continue to look for more funding to be able to expand. So our program is growing. We need to find more funding, you know, so we will continue to work with the districts to see if there's opportunities there to carve out any additional funds, but other things that we've been able to do thus far, and we will continue. We submitted on behalf of Capo for a Middle School Foundations Academy grant. We were awarded that grant for Marco Forrester specifically. That grant was focused around low-income students, was a major component of that particular grant. So we were awarded that, so we'll be doing some work specifically with Marco around that. That's designed to connect middle school CTE to their feeder high school programs. So they're connected to our regional robotics program, CCA's program, so that's where that connection comes in. So that happens for this year, so we additional funding there. Perkins at the federal level actually put out a new funding stream. It's akin to CTIG-ish. It's kind of how it feels, but it's a modernization grant. So we're looking into that. They're only awarding a limited number nationwide, but we're going to throw our hat in the ring and see what happens.
Let's go.
Yeah, so we're going to give that one a shot. As we shared earlier about the adult grant coming in with our EL program, so we've gained funds for that, so that doesn't go against our current budget. Those are additional, so we'll continue to seek and ferret out those additional dollars and partner with people like Saddleback and others that are having grant access as well to continue to grow, even in the climate of declining enrollment as a region. We still need to figure out how to offer more opportunity because things seem to be coming our way more and more as things change. So we'll continue to do that. In section three, community engagement, so a lot of the same things. Again, we need to get the word out to your point to really let everybody know what it is that we do. Hopefully we are awarded the Golden Bell because we'll plaster that everywhere. And you know, those kind of opportunities are great. I talked to Jimmy just recently. CUSD has their principal for a day. Program coming up, so I talked to Jimmy about assigning someone to us to let us take someone
yes.
from the community around to show them all of
yes.
the different things that CCA does.
Or we'll, a couple of someone.
Yeah. We'll,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll again sponsor
everybody.
The lunch. Bring them on. We'll rent a bus and we'll just
that's
do a tour.
Right.
But our culinary program will again cater the program, so we'll be able to have that exposure and some of those kinds of things. So we're going to continue to do that. Specifically to that section, though, the work that we shared about the career fair and putting that together. I think that will really go a long way to getting the word out about who we are and what we do for all of these businesses. You know, 50, somewhere between 50 and 80 businesses will get a very deep dive into who we are and what we're all about as a result of signing up to come be a part of this thing. So that will really, I think, go a long way to generate some conversation in the community about who we are and what we have offering for the kiddos. So those are some highlights from the goals for this year. Yeah,
I thought, so it's got the branding, you know, mm-hmm. So, you know, our schools, you walk up, you go distinguished school, blue ribbon school. Anywhere on our campus, it's probably under your college, you know, the career centers, mm-hmm. but your logo is so darling, it's almost like this school is a CCA school, you know, and like if they had a QR code that parents could put, like, what is this? I don't know, I don't want you guys to spend more money, but, you know, if I walked up to the administration office, I'm going to just gonna pick up little Palisades, and I walk up and there's like this, your cute little thing, like if it's up, or more like middle or high school.
Right.
I don't know, I'm just thinking, you know, because some folks don't connect the dots, mm-hmm. and CTE obviously is a cross, you know, everybody loves CTE. There's not, you know, nobody says, oh, that sucks. So I know, I just was thinking, you know, branding, yeah. is so cute, mm-hmm. you know, in other places on our campuses,
well,
of that opportunity.
To do it. Say, you know,
right. Well,
because
right.
really, at least all of our middle schools and high schools can say, we are a college and career advantage school.
Right. But if there's a random person walking around, you know, stranger danger, they can look and view the CTE.
I love the QR code because we see
where we
did put that up at every single lab that we did. You know, the
yes,
it would have been great to have the QR code.
The QR yeah. code. So maybe if you ever
I think
it's just part and parcel of everything. Mm-hmm. Takes you right to the link. What is this?
Yep.
And then, you know, and have that. So, okay, good. I have an idea.
I can bring it up to I can bring it up to Carrie and see, and maybe we can work with Greg Nestor to put something together that we could send out to schools that have
really
our programs in there and stick it on the front door.
Right.
You know, something like that.
Well, and on everything that we pass out everywhere, right? That would be nice for them.
Yeah. Just make it super even.
Exactly.
I'm easy. Starting to use that, so.
That's great.
No, I love it. That's a great idea.
Any other questions?
Yeah, so that's all I wanted to present there. So, yeah, if you have any questions about any of those, I'm happy to help. We're good? Okay, awesome. Thank you.
So this was discussion only. It'll come back for approval in December.
Great. Okay, moving on to cell phone allowance. And that is Dr. Weir.
So I'm requesting that the board would approve a $25 a month cell phone allowance for critical positions within the district or within our organization. So that being my two directors and my two managers, instructional staff. They spend so much time communicating with one another on their personal devices that I think that would be a very nice thing for us to do to honor and acknowledge the work that they do using their personal device for business on a regular basis. Honestly, we wouldn't be able to communicate nearly as effectively or as often as we do if we did not. And I do know that is something that is provided to me based on my position being split with the district. And I wanted to extend that courtesy to my management team as well to be able to have that benefit.
So here's a question on cell phones, and it's probably just me. So I was running late, right? I can't get a hold of any of you. Or sometimes I miss, like the ribbon cutting mm-hmm. or something. Is it possible to give your board members somebody's contact information? Mm-hmm. Like
you emailed, messaged me, and I didn't see it.
You didn't see it. I'm like, why am I texting her?
So the right joke is don't call
me. I don't look at my phone.
Well, I don't have your cell.
No, you don't?
No, no. So,
we'll make a list and give it to all of you.
Yeah. On your, so you can ignore your message on your phone, you know, up in your office. So
okay.
I realized, and this happened to me before, and I meant to ask somebody.
I have all the cell phone numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think you have the whole district.
Yeah,
you
I do.
So there's that.
I do.
And so now if you get an allowance, I'll call you all the time.
Yeah. All right, you want me to take it back, or you can?
I already texted her, so now she's got my number.
I'm happy to make a list and give you all of my numbers.
Okay. Well, and
regardless
only
of this.
What's come to, you know, regardless I just don't, you know, don't really do that.
And you can call me, just.
Okay.
I put my, what I do is put my phone down, and then I leave it, and then I walk.
You're busy.
And I'm busy, and I don't, I'm not.
It's not part of your hand.
It's not part of my hand. I'm too old for that.
You just let me ping you.
Yeah, that's
you.
What I know you're
my kids ping me all the time.
Oh.
My kids track me too.
Yeah.
I track my kids. I know that at least CUSD does this. You probably do it as well. And it's hard to talk about this because you're all here, but I have this question. In the olden days, my first cell phone, I was being charged for minutes, and I got some number of minutes, and I always had to worry about that, and we don't have that anymore.
Right.
So it's not clear to me why we're still doing cell phone allowances, because it's not, there's no more cost to me if I am using it for, you know, 20 hours a day or 1 minute a day. There's no difference in my cost. So I'm not clear. I think the only issue is, are people calling you after hours?
I was going to say, part of it is the acknowledgement that a lot of this is done after hours. So yes, we text each other in the evenings. We text each other, hey, don't forget, you know, we got this going on in the morning, or we had a location change, or hey, can we talk about this for 5 minutes? Even Kathy will take one of my calls once in a while in the evening when something's going on. Most of the time it goes straight to voicemail.
Like it's a lot.
So yes, it's almost as much of an acknowledgement of after hours work as it is the actual cost, because you're right, we don't track minutes and we can't do a percentage of time anymore, because that's not the way cell phone plans are any longer. I agree with you. It's as much about as an acknowledgement of additional time spent outside of the business day.
All right. It seems really reasonable.
Well, it's a small cost, but all these small costs start to mount up. Amy is actually wonderful about asking about this in our board, of like, here's another $1,000, and it's only $1,000, but it's like, pretty soon it starts to be real money, you know?
Yep.
And I'm fine with that. If you couch it in those terms, I'm okay mm-hmm. with it, because it is sort of just overtime pay.
Yep.
But you got to know, this means I'm going to be calling you after hours.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, God. Well, I longer feel bad about calling you on your cell phone.
Okay, last chance for me to pull this back. Okay.
We're $25 a month.
So Dom and Melanie, I don't have your numbers. Everybody else?
I'm not part of this.
It's only for four months.
It's not part of this. I'm not part of this. This isn't going to
be. I have your number, Lisa.
I don't mind it.
Just flip a number.
Well, I think part of it also has to do with the usage, right?
I mean,
how many times you're using it is how many more times you have an option of breaking it. So that kind of helps.
Oh, you mean like this?
Mine is custom on the back.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so your phone call.
Yeah, that really does that.
So I think I would take that because I'm afraid of my ear. So I think it kind of fits in that kind of a category.
I'm fine with it.
I know you are, but I appreciate you bringing it up to the point of we brought it up at the last board meeting about the question on the attorney fees.
Yeah.
And Paul reached out to, I don't know if you shared with the whole board, maybe you did, I don't remember.
Yeah, we did. She went ahead and kept her same rate for this year from last.
So it's good to ask. So the point is, it's good to ask. And if there's ways that we can save $1,000, $2,000, $50, whatever, it all adds up. And
it does.
So I appreciate the question. So
it does.
Thank you. All right. So with that.
Can we have a motion?
So I'll move it. Second. Whatever.
Sure.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
And we have Gila for no
holidays
or weekends.
No, we'll give you the blackout windows.
I'd be pretty good. I mean, you guys know
she'd
that.
She'd rather be physically here, so.
Thank you very much for that, guys. I really appreciate that.
Okay, and moving on to 16, course inventory, Dr. Weir.
This one's actually going to be Ms. Thomas.
Yeah. And actually, we already spoke about the Mission Hospital internship, and then the aviation, all we did was add a second level because there were enough kids that wanted to go on to a second level. So it just shows the program is growing. And then there was one that
actually, before you leave that one, I just want to throw in, we had enough kids to go to the second level, but it was actually as a result of the kids asking about that, that they wanted more of the program, because we only had one class,
yeah.
And the kids were asking, hey, what can we do? We want to continue. This, yeah. So that was actually student-driven, that growth,
that's
which
great.
I think was fantastic.
If you ever want speakers, and he's retired now, but I have a neighbor and a friend who literally worked not the flying the plane, but all the other things out on the tarmac. Mm-hmm. I think he was with Delta for forever. Mm-hmm. And I've listened to him at a career fair, and he probably doesn't have access, but he brought in the big tools. They have big wrenches, big things like that. And then you said you are going to see if perhaps they can get a South Coast arm of Mission Hospital.
Oh yes.
You know,
they actually mentioned it to us when I'd mentioned Laguna Beach being part of it, and they said, oh, that's kind of a drive for them, and we have a location, and let's talk about them for next year. And so they had mentioned it to us. So.
Yeah, that's a very more user friendly to get in there and park and you know, if they're self driving, you know, to get up there.
They were actually really good at the mission down here with giving the kids all have parking passes on the first day.
Nice.
They were all activated. Mm-hmm. So now when they go in, they just scan it, and when they go out, they scan it. And so that's activated, then they'll just deactivate it. So that was
good.
Yeah, they had
that's
a good
perfect.
Plan, and there was a lot of parking over at this one. I've been lost over there at the last 2
weeks.
Okay,
just, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how's that second class, that second level aviation, is it full?
No, it's not full. So what we did is we dual rostered it, and that
double
was again,
roster.
Yeah. The kids wanted to. They wanted a second level, wanted to continue, but and maybe it will grow to be enough.
Sure,
to have a second.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No,
but
that.
Then we'll have to really find another teacher, Patrick.
Yeah, if he keeps, he's a wonderful guy. He's so interesting. He has
such a
broad background to share with the kids, when just anecdotally, and so yeah, he's a very, very interesting guy.
And I think he's
guy.
Even going to start with San Clemente and do like part of the ROCP.
Yeah,
and so I'm like, okay, Patrick, there's no what else can you do? He's
that's
doing
right.
aviation, he's doing
well, he coaches.
He's
a track coach at San Clemente on top of everything else.
He was pivotal in helping Chris Carter bring JROTC finally to fruition.
Yep.
Now they have the instructor.
We need to learn how to clone him for sure.
Yes,
we need to get our biotech students to clone him.
Oh, yeah, because they usually want two from different branches.
Yes. Well,
the one I ran, I had
a
Navy, and then I had a Marine gunnery sergeant was the second command of
for
that.
For some
one.
Reason, we can't have the Marine, and I can't remember the why on that component.
Did it have something to do with not having a base? Or we have a Marine.
Oh, no.
I remember they said it.
Possibly, yes.
They said something. Yeah, they did something.
There's
say
a base. And there's
it was their own probe. I think it's just their own.
Yeah.
I think it was waiting on the list. I think what it was we couldn't get through to the waiting list was way longer, and you had to have from your to get on.
Yeah.
And there's only certain
8 years ago, trying to get to ROTC, and it really took. And I know I tried through CCA. I've got all my emails with Patty. I did try through this avenue, because it's expensive. And so you guys politely said no, and then Principal Carter through and Patrick together, they were finally able to bring it to fruition.
Yeah,
they're all good.
So it's great.
Yeah, it's an awesome program.
And so there was one other one that I didn't add to this. I forgot. It was Union High Schools. Well, what is it now? What's the new name for Union, you guys?
Union.
Okay.
Union.
That is Union. Sarah. I always call it Sarah, and I was thinking I was saying the wrong name.
Right.
So we decided this year to try to do a wheel, similar to middle school, because they don't have a lot of options. Mm-hmm. And so rather than just lock them into one option, we decided to take some of our teachers and have them come over and do in the morning before their other class, they do a portion of the wheel. So at this point, we've had medical assisting, pharmacy tech has been over there. We have plans for crime scene investigation to go back. They really, really want auto, so we might not be able to get it for this year, but for next year, we're going to try to see if we can get our auto teacher to come over and do a portion of the wheel. And so just giving them some more options to see. And we were going to try to get one of our engineering teachers to come over and do kind of like a manufacturing robotics, something to kind of get the kids exposed to more things.
Do a two-week rotation. So we'll do 2 weeks of medical, and then 2 weeks of pharmacy, and then 2 weeks of auto, and 2 weeks of... And we'll
and
just
we
cycle that through,
year.
And then when their quarter changes, then we go back with a different group of kids, and we do the same rotation. So it's our current staff just going over there.
Right.
So less actually learning, more just learning about what the career is.
Correct.
So as far as construction goes, mm-hmm. we have welding, right? Do we still have welding? We don't offer welding. We have the virtual welding machines. We don't do that anymore.
We have some virtual welders in a lab at Dana.
A lab at Dana. So you do have, but it's not a pathway? Or
It's in a kind of a CTE lab with multiple topics. It's very akin. Okay. That lab was started to be kind of a high school version of our middle school labs in conjunction with our special education program over there.
Okay. So in the go forward, obviously, this is the world is your oyster. There's so many things people want. You know, obviously, welding and welders. I mean, talk about six figures. Oh, yeah. And, you know, too. And I have this lot of kids say, and other parents say, they're thinking of going into welding. So there must be other trade schools and everything. So there's that. And I think that would be very, I think they would be interested in that. Then the other thing, so how are we on, we don't have an actual construction academy. We have the tiny house.
We have the BIDA program over at San Juan.
We do have BIDA.
If I'm being completely honest, it is construction light.
Okay.
So it's not, the kids there that are in that program are not going to go be home builders or they might eventually wind up owning their own construction company and that's kind of their mindset of it. It's interesting, it's hands-on, they get to learn some skills. It's a positive program, don't get me wrong. But I don't believe we have a very high percentage of students in there that are looking to go to the Carpenters Union or looking to go be home builders.
Yeah, because those guys are right in our backyard, the laborers, and they have those beautiful buildings where you can go. Yeah. I've never gone inside.
Yeah. You mean the Carpenters?
The Carpenters, you know, one's what, in San Diego County, and then one's...
There's one up north.
One up north. You know, and it's been a hot topic. I listen to labor... guys, big ones in California, and the need for that, what that looks like for means for them, and I just feel like there's an extra level of support. Like if we could figure out, you know,
so
all of that.
There's basically two ways to do it. One is through the BIA, which is basically what we've got, and the other is through the Carpenters Union.
Right.
And I actually investigated this pretty thoroughly with Patty and visited the Carpenters Union in, I think it's Buena Park or Orange, I forget.
Buena Park.
And Patty went and visited it, and we looked at their curriculum, and the curriculum is just very light. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, making a cutting board and making, it's not heavy duty. And I talked to them about, hey, we could have a four-year program where you would end up with something.
Right.
It doesn't give the kid anything. That's the thing.
Okay, there's no outcome.
There's no outcome. It's you kind of learn skills. And I wanted them to be able to graduate with 4 years of classes that would be like the equivalent of one class in one of their actual academies. And they don't do that.
Well, it depends on which way you go. Because if you connect directly to their pre-apprenticeship program,
but it was years ago.
Then they actually come out ready to be an active part of the guild.
Okay.
And then they spend their time in the guild, and then now they're a journeyman carpenter.
That's
so
what I understood.
We've met with Saddlebacks.
That again?
So they've reached out to Saddleback, and we had a conversation with them a while back. Him and I talked to them, and we were looking at folding our BIDA program into that very thing so that the extension for the kids would be going out to the Carpenters Union, to the Carpenter Hall, to actually get that actual skill training, the trade training. And it wasn't light for them. This was actual construction. There's a little bit of a disconnect between our BIDA program and kind of the way that teacher has, and that's not one of our teachers, so it's a little interesting there. But that program doesn't 100% line up with the apprenticeship aspect of it. And we talked to some of the kids, and that's where we also kind of parted ways a little bit with that, because the interest just wasn't there for the kids' side to actually go be a carpenter at that particular site. Now, moving that to a different site, talking about Capo, talking about San Clemente, we may could get a different.
He wanted to do tiny houses.
Right.
He wanted it. And he's got the space up there with Upper. So that would be great if we could think. And ironic, you know, that when they think of car, maybe we need, you know, they should be electrician, plumber, and what you want to be is a general contractor.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, you know, that in terms of if, like, keeping these kids here at CUSD for M&O, I mean, it's conversations come up from Alex Mabon and M&O about our school sites being better equipped with that on-site general contractor,
yeah.
right? You know, so there's ways to go, you know, so, and I just think that, you know, those kids probably at that school haven't understood what it means yet, how they can make a living there. Yeah, I went 1 year ago, Clovis, they have a huge construction at that, either Clovis West or East or whatever, I was on site for water polo. Man, what, I mean, it was everything in there. They were drywalling, they were everything. Yeah. It was super cool. It was a huge building that had, you know, everything there, so.
And the carpenters do, they have, it's not like the underwater welding, but they have like light welding, it's there. They have
welding
drywall. They build the roads. They're road builders. Yeah. So all kinds of stuff that they're doing. And if you want to go visit, you know, that.
I don't like a carpenter. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
I don't see any more.
I live with a carpenter, a plumber, and an architect.
Yeah.
Might be worth opening that conversation again and seeing if we can create any partnerships there.
Yeah, we're still in contact with those guys. That was something that happened just at the beginning of this year that
so
we started that conversation.
So one of my really close friends is the general counsel for Southwest Carpenters Union. Mm-hmm. He's also on the board of Rancho San Diego Community College District. So he knows both ends of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I went through him because I was interested in getting it going, and it just didn't work a ton, but this was soon after I got on the board.
People are hungrier now.
Yeah, and Saddleback doesn't have a program, and they're actually interested in trying to figure out how they can get something started at their place too.
Saddleback is trying to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to lean on them because it's actually a fairly expensive program to start.
Yeah.
So we would need a partner like
they have
that.
More money
space
than
that.
So,
Saddleback has a very nice construction program. I know because I took classes in that program. I took like 5 classes from Saddleback in construction.
Oh, there's our teacher.
Yeah, they're telling us right now they don't have
an
active program.
They shut it down. There was somebody that didn't like it. I think they didn't like the teacher. And I actually went to the board meeting and said, don't do this. And now they want it back. And I said to them, you're going to shut this down. It's going to be hard to bring back.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions on course inventory?
I think there's a vote, yeah, just that you guys have
yep. Any further questions on course inventory? Okay, now do I have a motion?
So moved.
Okay, motion.
Second, Peggy.
Okay. I think we've got Vickers and Perry in
yes,
the first
yes.
and second. Okay, very good.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And do I have a motion for adjournment?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank
who
you
made
guys.
The motion?
Appreciate
motion
you being
by,
here.
By,
all
okay, motion by Trustee Jones and seconded by.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Can I take my tablet?
Sure.
Thank you. We need a party gift.